packages, and in particular about the tool named package or package-ng previously. So package is intended to replace old package add and package install tools, but unlike these tools, it uses the central database for local packages and a set of remote repositories. We use SQLite3 for both of these purposes. What are our goals when we develop a package? So first of all, we would like to improve users' experience in management with binary packages. This includes basically easy installation, removing or upgrading of packages. We would like also to integrate better with the pods and to perform all tasks, including, for example, complex ones, to be performed automatically or at least with the minimal intention of user. Moreover, we want to make our package to be more secure because it is the tool that is executed with superior user privileges. And we actually believe that if we can make our package good, we can encourage our users to use mainly binary packages. But we don't want to prevent users from building custom packages from pods. For example, enabling some options required. So how we want to integrate with the pods? So first of all, we have already added the support for stage directory. Stage directory is the intermediate target for pods installation. So after pods are built, they install their files into stage directory, and it is possible for package to get these files from stage directory and create packages. This approach helps us to build pods from unprivileged user, which is quite important for automatic build systems. And moreover, we can build several packages from a single pod. And in particular, it is very useful for slave pods. For example, PHP port has a lot of slave pods, like different modules for PHP. And by using stage directory, we can just build it once and create as much packages as we want. And what is planned, we would like to use packages to resolve build dependence for pods. It sounds strange, but I think that make system is not enough to resolve complicated dependencies. And therefore, I think that it is worth to convert dependency resolution from pods themselves to package. So what's new in package 1.3, that is upcoming release of package? First of all, we have implemented new solver that can handle conflicts, dependencies, and complicated upgrade scenarios. I'll try to describe them later in more automatic way than previous one. Then we improved the security of many operations by using sandboxes. So basically we use Capsicum for isolating all potentially dangerous operations. So the basic scenario is that we execute package, then we fork, and then we enter capability mode, and then execute some unsafe operation. And then we return some result via either by exit code or by some socket pair. Actually, we consider many operations as unsafe, but currently we've implemented it for archiving extraction before signature checking. Then we check signatures in the separate sandbox. And moreover, we pass vuln.xml entries in sandboxed mode. But actually, we want to introduce this sandboxing for all package tasks that don't require super user privileges. Actually, we need them only for modifying database or modifying your systems. And we have added the concurrent locking system that allows you, for example, to query database when you, for example, fetch packages or do some other long-term job. And I think it should improve users' experiences. Well, the basic package architecture is presented on the following diagram. So we have user requests that comes to solver. and Solr converts it to some internal representation, and it resolves tasks and converts it to a set of jobs. So for example, install this package, fetch this package, remove this, and upgrade that. And after that, these jobs are executed, and you have new file systems status, so with new packages, and new package DB status, so you have new local database. Well, oops. So what are the problems with the current Solr? So we cannot now resolve conflicts at all. So if you're trying to install some conflicting packages, you need to remove old one manually. And actually, it is not always possible, because sometimes you need to upgrade packages, but they're, for example, renamed. And you don't want to remove your package, and you don't want to run the install scripts and so on and so forth. So there is no alternative supports. Well, there are some package management systems without alternatives, but actually we want them. For example, now we have a system of alternatives in our shared libraries dependencies. So we have provides and requires. So a single require can be satisfied by many provides. And the second, and the finally, the current solver cannot do many tasks at time. So it can merely install or upgrade or remove, and it is not sufficient. For example, for upgrade, you need to install new dependencies, you need to remove conflicting files, and so on. So what are the complex tasks that we need to solve when designing new solver? First of all, we have a lot of renaming in ports. So if you open ports moved, you would find a lot of entries there. And this renaming can be simple. So for example, we rename some port because of upstream changing. Then there are some complicated scenarios, and they're very funny. For example, we had some package A that was split to three independent packages, A, B, and C. So you see that A is remaining in the both local and remote repositories. But the problem is that A, for example, depends on B and C. There are new packages. But it's obvious that since B and C contain some file from old local A, they would conflict with this A. So we cannot just install B and C and then upgrade A. It is just impossible. So there is some solution to split upgrade procedure of A to remove A, then install B and C, and then upgrade A. It sounds complicated, but it is the only way to resolve this in non-conflicting way. Because otherwise, you will have either conflict or missed dependencies on installing. It is bad because, well, we can have some installation scripts that depends on some components and system and so on. We have the same problems with joining packages in one, but they are solved in the similar way. Moreover, ports can be reorganized. So some file can be moved from one port to another. And what's more tricky that these ports can be dependent. And actually, you can do only upgrade, split upgrade procedure as it was described previously. We can have dependencies changed, adding or removing new conflicts, and all these operations require some advanced logic in Solr. But there are a lot of other tasks to be resolved before we can do package management tasks automatically. For example, we have now no conflicts in our pods. Well, there are some conflicts, but actually there are a lot of hiding conflicts. And actually, it is a big problem because you cannot resolve conflicts without conflicts. And the problem is that remote packages don't contain file lists. So when you're trying to fetch some remote packages from the repository, you don't have ideas about which files they do include. And there are actually three ways to resolve this issue. First one is to prefetch packages, read them locally, read file lists from them, and try to find conflicts between fetched packages. But obviously, it requires more iterations of Solr. So you need to fetch packages. Maybe some of them are just not required because they are conflicting. You need to resolve this universe. And actually, this procedure can happen multiple times. I personally have observed two times of this procedure. So you fetch, then you need to fetch more, and then you find even more conflicts. And it is quite confusing for a user. So you need to press yes or no for each time. The second possibility is to have a file list that includes all files from all ports in some repository. But there is a problem with this approach as well. The problem is that we need to somehow index this file to find conflicts. And making this database is quite expensive procedure. And actually, from my observation, this file can be multiple hundreds of megabytes. And it is not something that we want to have. The third approach is to have a conflict file built from repository itself. But there are two problems in this approach as well. So first problem is that we need to load files when we create a repository. And there are two types of manifests inside of package. One manifest is short, so it contains only metadata required for a mode package. And one manifest is long. Some packages like LibreOffice, like Firefox, contains so many files that their full manifest is 10 or 100 times larger than small manifest. And you need to extract it, and you need to process it, and you need finally to make this database on the server side. So repository creation with full manifests is 50% slower than repository creation at the moment. And if you add conflicts resolution, it is about 4 times slower than it is now. So we've decided to choose the first choice. But actually, all these three features are implemented in package, so we can switch if we decide. Then actually, we need to set priorities of jobs. So actually, it is you need to install your dependencies before dependent packages. You need to remove conflicts just before installation of conflicting package. And for reverse dependencies, you need to upgrade your priority to be installed before this reverse dependence. And moreover, this task is not so easy because you need to deal with remote packages, local packages, and upgrade tasks can be splitted. So actually, it is not easy. Well, what are the most common approaches in the existing package management system? Basically, there are two approaches. The first approach is to use some algorithm, and basically, it is used set algorithm. I'll describe it in details further. And the second approach is to invent some heuristic to solve these tasks. Actually, well, both approaches are viewable, but the invention of heuristics is sometimes very complicated. And actually, it depends on your package's organizing. So if you don't support alternatives, it is quite easy. But if you add alternatives, it is not easy. For example, apt code is just mess, because there are a lot of assumptions, a lot of exclusions, and so on and so forth. But there is a tendency to migrate to self-solving for all package management systems. For example, Yum in Red Hat migrated from Naive Solver to LibSolve that uses set algorithm. But first of all, we've decided to implement integration with external solvers. There are a lot of external solvers that are mostly research projects, and there are even a lot of, so-called solvers competitions, when you can choose some winners of these competitions and try to test them in your code. And basically, all of these external solvers uses a format that called CUDF that was designed in the Mancuso research project. This format is quite straightforward. It uses textual presentation of all package universe, textual representation of request, and what's specifically important that it uses plain numbers for versions. So you cannot just push your versions from ports to the Mancuso format. So we need to convert them somehow. And actually, we tried package with ASP Qt solver. That was a winner in many contests of solvers, but we found that this solution is not viable for using in production. The problem is that actually many of these solvers are research projects, and that means basically that they are not ready for production. You can see that, for example, it can just drop core in some strange situations and you cannot debug them. They use some strange notations for loading options. You need to write some workaround to handle that and so on and so forth. Then this CUDF transformation is quite expensive. So you have internal presentation, but you need to convert it to CUDF. And this means that you need, for example, if you have Nginx 0.6.0 and Nginx 0.6.1, you need to convert them to Nginx 1 and Nginx 2, and vice versa. When you read the reply from solver, you need to convert them back. It is not complicated, but you need to always keep this in mind. And this IPC interaction, so you need to fork exec to feed this CUDF to pipe, to read this CUDF from pipe and to pass it, it is rather expensive. So actually, we need internal solver. We have different alternatives. So first of all, we think about using something ready, such as libsolve. But for libsolve, actually, you need to write a backend for packages. And you need to backport a lot of code to libsolve itself, because it is the complete solution to manage packages, and it is not compatible with ports. Okay. So we can write some our own heuristic for solving package management problems. But as I've said, it is complicated. It would cause code bloating, and it would be even more complex than it is now. And we don't want to do it. And the third alternative is to use some known algorithm. Well, this algorithm is called SAT. It is Boolean satisfiability problem. It is very old and very well researched problem. Basically, we have a set of independent Boolean variables in this problem, and we have an expression. So we need to set values of these variables in such way that this expression is true. But there are some assumptions to simplify notation. For example, this is some SAT expression, this one. And it consists of multiple clauses. And these clauses are joined using logical AND. So actually, each clause should be true to lead this expression to be true as well. And clause is set of variables that are joined using logical OR. So actually, you need to have only one member here to be true to set this clause as true. But how this set problem is linked with packages? Well, actually, we can convert all our package relationships to this SAT expression. So first of all, we create so-called package universe. It is something like we have packages with different names and different versions, and actually all versions of with this name are conflicting. It is needed merely for upgrade purposes. So actually, if you can have different versions and you can have different packages with the same name and version installed, you need just to have them to be non-conflicting and to provide some way to find out upgrades. So actually, we can find that version 2 is upgrade for version 1, but they're conflicting. And afterwards, you can set other relationships between packages. So there is dependencies, relationships, conflict relationships, and so on and so forth. Then, actually, you need to convert your universe with all relationships to set problem. First of all, you assign to each package, to each version of the package, an individual variable. So for example, we can assign for package A, variable A1, and for package B, variable B1. Then we should convert our installation or removing request. So it's obvious that for installation of package A, we need to have unary clause, just this variable. So it will be installed anyway. And for deleting, vice versa, we need to have a single unary clause with inversion inside. And then we need to convert dependencies and conflicts into sort clauses. They are basically not so easy than unary, but for most dependencies and conflicts, they are two array clauses. So for example, if package A depends on package B, either of version B1 or B2, then we can either have package A not installed or any of versions of B installed. Well, this is quite simple. So if we have A, if we have A installed, then this member is zero. The first member is zero. And we need, therefore, either B1 or B2 to be true. That's dependency. And for conflicts, we have more complicated expression. We need to convert it to a set of clauses, but each clause is quite straightforward. So we need not B1 and not B2 installed. Actually, this means that only one of these packages can be installed, or neither of packages can be installed. This is true for sure. The main problem in set problem is its complexity in naive approach. So if you try to assign all possible values for all possible variables, it has a complexity of O from 2 in power of n. And for example, if you have 3,000 of packages in your universe, you need to solve task with a complexity of 2 in power of 3,000. And well, it is not solvable. So there are some assumptions and tricks to simplify set problem. And in particular, it is quite straightforward to simplify this problem for packages. Actually, there are four tricks that I'm going to describe further. So first of all, there is trivial propagation. So you have your request and your unary clauses. And definitely you can assign variables just by definition. So you need this clause to be true, then A is definitely true. And you need this clause to be true, and therefore C is false. So you need to remove C and install A. Okay. Then there is a trick called unit propagation. So what is unit? Unit is a clause that contains one and only one unassigned variable. So for example, this is a unit. We assigned variable A, but we haven't assigned variable B. And what's more important, that unit must have false value with all variables assigned. And it's true as well, because A is true and not A is false. So the value of unit is false. And it have B unassigned. So it's obvious that we must assign B as true, because otherwise this clause won't be true and the whole expression is unsolvable. And for conflict, it is obvious as well. So we have not A is true, and not D must be true, must be, not A is false, sorry. So not D must be false as well, and therefore D is false. And it is conflict relationships. So actually, by this unit propagation, we solve practically 90% of all dependencies and conflicts in the current packages. But it is not enough, because as I've said, there are some alternatives. So some package can depend on both local and either remote version. So actually we can use, we can either set version unchanged or try to upgrade it. And we use so-called DPLL algorithm for these purposes. DPLL is very old algorithm. It was invented in 1968 by a group of computer scientists. But it is still used as the base of other advanced algorithms. Basically, this algorithm is good enough for packages because of that it is completely based on the initial assignment. So if you can provide some good initial guess for assignments, it works fast. And I'll describe why we can do it. So the idea is quite simple. So we have a set of variables In this example, there are three variables. And we try to assign them some values based on initial guess. So we decided to install X1, to remove X2, and to remove, install X3. And then we find some conflict. So if we assign this variable true, then this expression is not solvable. So sum of clauses is false. OK, then we need to backtrack. So we return to level before and try to inverse our assignment. So if we try to install X3, we try to remove X3. And actually, this can cause to another conflict. So we need to backtrack more. And this can lead to the following tree of solutions. So we backtrack one level, try to inverse our solution, and check for conflicts. And finally, we found that our first assignment was false. So we should do a lot of backtracking, because actually, we assigned the first variable incorrectly. But it's obvious that this algorithm can be turned in the worst cases to the 2 in power of n. But actually, it is not possible in case of packages, I believe. And what can make this DPLL algorithm effective? So actually, there are some package-specific assumptions that can help us to make initial guess very good for this task. First of all, we need to keep installed packages if they're not conflicted with new ones. And we don't need any new packages that are not requested by a user. So we just try to set them to zero initially. And actually, this guess works in practically all cases. But for renaming, for that complex scenarios I've described previously, it is not true. And you need some backtracking to solve really complicated problems. And that takes time. So actually, we have two solutions now. We can either use CUDF and external solvers, or we can use our internal solver, convert our package management problems to set problem, request it, solve it, and get profit. So what are the perspectives of these solutions? So first of all, we want to use package solver for solving dependencies for pods. Well, then we want to have better support for multiple repositories. And it is obvious that without these propagations and backtracking, we cannot use alternatives. Then it is possible to test different research projects and finally change our internal algorithm to that one. Then we can have more complicated dependencies. So not only A from B, but including versions and so on and so forth. Then we can have provides and alternatives. Actually, we now support shared libraries, provides and requires, but we want to introduce provides and requires for binaries. And it is some goal for future versions. So what we want to do as well is to create flexible dependencies. So we want actually, this is a format that is used by Mancusi CUDF with certain peculiarities for pods. For example, we have some options in dependence formula that is needed, for example, for custom pods, for custom packages built from pods, and we can have some custom dependencies between such a pods. And actually, if you have some package that is built with non-standard options, all reverse dependencies must be built from pods as well, by obvious reason, because otherwise you would have conflicting situation with different options. Then this format would allow us to use alternative dependencies. So in this example, you can depend on two different libraries. Well, and alternatives for binaries. It is something very strange, but sometimes it's required. For example, you can have Git that can depend on text editor for editing commit messages. And it doesn't matter which text editor is installed in your system. It can be Vim, Emacs, or whatever. And we want to have some sort of virtual dependencies like we have for shared libraries, so we can have provides and requires. But it is much to be done in this direction because we have no support from pods at the moment for both of these problems. And actually, we have several issues to be resolved before releasing 1.3. First of all, we cannot find candidates for non-automatic top-level packages. So for example, if you have Apache that is top-level packages, so no other packages depend on this Apache, and it doesn't exist, for example, due to renaming, and currently package want to remove it, and it is completely wrong. It needs to find some install candidate in the repository and suggest user to install this candidate. So it is most critical bug that currently exists in package. Also, we upgrade packages incorrectly. So now we are trying to rewrite them. And it is very bad. It is non-safe for binaries and shared libraries. It doesn't work with immutable flags and so on and so forth. So we need to rename, install, and then link, like many other package management systems does. And actually, it's not a problem to implement it. And actually, we need more testing. So I can ask everybody to use a new package 1.3, if possible, and report bugs, and if you want to participate in our development. Well, that's all. Thank you for your attention. Questions? Yes, actually, I think about adding just a solve command for package. It is very simple. And to accept some KNF formula in the input and output, the assigned variables or unsolved decision. So I think it can be useful for other systems in base. But the only problem is that package is not in base. Okay, other questions? Well, so that's all.
I just want to add that this is hard. We need a lot of people to test the new version. There is a beta version just after the conference resolved with some pieces, and we need a lot of people to test it. So it doesn't take the top.
So here is, for example, some sort of complicated upgrade. So, for example, in this case, it's not. It's still broken. Okay, so you can see that, it is again bug of Tmux. So you need to rerun this process. It is DPLL solving. So you can. doesn't work, okay. You can believe me. So actually, during this complicated upgrade, there are a lot of tasks to be solved. You need to install new dependencies. You need to reinstall packages with dependencies or with ABI changes. Or you need to upgrade packages. You need maybe to remove them. And for example, if there are no local packages in the cache, you need to fetch them before and to extract file lists. But actually, I think that it is a great step comparing to package 1.2 because it wasn't able to solve these scenarios. Yes, but it shows something not related to this output. You need somehow to scroll it down several times and try to page up. I don't know why it's happened. Yeah, the question is merely in ports and not in package, because package can handle them without.